Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Red Room Podcast, man. Episode 77. New week, new content. Y'all already know how it goes, man. First and foremost, appreciate everybody who tunes in to the podcast week after week, man. And shout out to the producer, Jahari, of the podcast, doing everything he do to make the podcast great. Man, we got a dope episode for y'all today. Had to shorten it up a little bit because I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to get at y'all at. But we're going to break this thing on down over the next couple of weeks, man. But today, some new music came out. So we're going to talk about the Earth Gang and Currency and the Alchemist did their thing on their project too. And a lot of new TV shows had started back. TV shows that I was interested in too and keep up with heavy, like Snowfall and everything. I ain't going to dive deep into those. But I will be talking about the Bel-Air and that new Proud Family. As always, sit back, relax, tune in, Red Room Podcast, man. So, y'all, another Black History Month has come and gone. Goddamn, we in the month of March. It's heating up. Everybody's starting to be back outside. It's great. Shit, like, it just started to heat up over the last week or so. And you already see people coming outside. A lot of people ain't been used to being out the door. And, like, righteously, the past 2 years, man, you got to think about it. People just ain't been outside like that with the mask mandates and all that shit. And now you just see people, no masks, everything, since the masks ain't as required as it used to be. People are outside. And it's great, man. Like today, I should have cranked the grill up, but I had so much shit to do that I just couldn't do it. But it's real deal, that type of energy outside right now, man. It's great. But we're going to dive into some music real quick, y'all. Two projects that I want to, you know, specifically talk about and touch on this week. I had to shorten up this week's episode, man. It's a lot of stuff that didn't make it because this episode would have ended up being like an hour and a half long. Because it's just so much shit that been happening in the past couple weeks as far as music, TV shows, stuff going on with music. There is a TV show, all kind of shit, man. So just bear with me. But I'm going to jump off into this Currency and Alchemist collab project, Continuance. They did it again, man. I always enjoy anything that, man, Alchemist got his foot in. You just know an Alchemist beat when you hear it. Like, bro, stay true to that boom bap, but he had a gang of creativity, man, and the little crevices, and he just tailored the beat to the artist that he working with, and I appreciate him for that. And getting the Alchemist beat is like getting a custom grill made righteously, man. Like, that motherfucker is for you and you only. That man got a gift with his style of engineering. And out of all the artists that he got collab projects with, and just work with, you know, in general, like Freddie Gibbs, Action Bronson, who was actually my number two favorite, you know, Alchemist duo, him and Action Bronson, to Griselda, Boldy James. It's just something to be said about him and Currency, man. Like, the first time I got put on Alchemist was through Currency. Because back around that time, man, the idea of engineers getting just as much notoriety as the rapper, that whole idea was new. I mean, back in way back in 09, when Zaytoven, that nigga had his foot on everybody's neck. Niggas was on that Sledrin and Cardo as far as engineers go. And that's because what we was listening to was Wiz and Mac Miller. You know, heavy. And they shit was on 10 every time they dropped. And they kept consistently shouting out their engineers throughout the tape. And that's the only reason I knew who Sledrin and Cardo even were. Shit. Currency didn't shout out Alchemist heavy or nothing like that as far as saying his name, but he ain't have to. Currency had that nigga name on the mixtape cover, bro, and the track list. Like, I still remember my boy Tyler put me on that Covert Coupe, and it was over as far as duos who just worked together, man. So, like, Alchemist and Currency, they just real deal glowed up together for real, for real. But this album, Continuance, man.
Yeah.
It's a solid 13 songs. It's a real easy listen, less than an hour. He got dope ass features on here from Babyface Ray, Larry June, Styles P, Boldy James, and Wiz Khalifa. People I like to hear with Currency. That's where I'm at with this. This is everybody I wanted to hear with Currency on this album and his way out. And Currency delivered as always, man. My boy Stash House Podcast, Tyler, he always said that lifestyle rap, it will never get old. And that shit hold true so far with that man Currency, for damn sure. Like, especially because this nigga always doing something new. He always doing some shit. So, in a way, it's all the same as far as, like, lifestyle go. But it's different because it is something new, man. And I just wish other artists, you know, I listen to had the drive to release music in this capacity and of this quality. Like, thinking about it, you know, the last people to do with Currency has been doing consistently, doing with his albums and his mixtape, as far as quantity and quality and longevity, man, was Gucci, Wayne, and goddamn, before that, it was Master P, man. All three of them niggas, like, they got unmatched drives for their craft, and it shows. So I definitely recommend y'all go peep out Continuance. Let me know what y'all thinking about it. Because I honestly was more satisfied for this than I was Pilot Talk 4. And I was waiting for Pilot Talk 4 for a long time, man. Because Righteously, I always thought that was going to stay a straight trilogy. And they put a fourth project on it. So that right there was dope. But I'm fucking with Continuance way heavier than I was fucking with Pilot Talk 4.
I still got my little hood shit in me, you know what I'm saying? I don't really like to be around a lot of motherfuckers, you know.
Earth Gang dropped off a new project, man. They finally released Ghetto Gods. They've been working on that for a minute. They announced Ghetto Gods like a couple of months after they dropped the Spillage Village project, which was their last album with the full Spillage Village. So, I mean, I guess it ain't their album, but it is. I don't know. Spillision was dope. It was a good ass listen. I still listen to it to the day. Mirrorland, it was okay. It was a all right album, the album that they did before Spillision. But it was just missing something, man. It wasn't a full Earth Game. But it's to be expected because they were in their intermediary period where they were like still experimenting, learning who they were as artists, learning like how shit go for real. And every artist gotta go through that time. But Earth Gang, they real dear brought it back with this one, man. Like I said, the project's called Ghetto Gods. Dropped about a week ago. Good ass album, man. The last two Earth Gang albums, like I said, they were okay. Good to listen to as far as like them experimental music. Not to say that there aren't multiple singles from those projects that I don't frequent, but the last two projects ain't had that Strays with Rabies, Rags, and Royalty style, man. Them early ass Earth Gang tapes that made me a fan. But this album, Ghetto Gods, got that shit hands down, man. Like, they got the OG skits with DC Young Fly. Like in their first albums when he played they Uber driver, they Lyft driver and shit. So like the skits are dope, the interludes, the features on here lit. And I knew it was gonna be only a matter of time before they tapped in with the Dungeon Family. They got Future and CeeLo Green on here, who they said, you know, they linked with, drew inspiration and shit from as well. And, you know, it's just making that Atlanta influence even more prevalent. Plus, they posted a pic on Instagram with 3 Stacks, man, saying that they went to him as far as like a, they went to him as far as like a mentor type deal for influence on the album, what they should and shouldn't do, how it sound. So I think that's dope, man. So they tapping in with the Dungeon Family. And I've been saying that, you know, the parallels between Earth Gang and Outkast, like they can't be denied, man. Like as far as creativity, rhyming, music, shit, musicality, all that shit, it's there. But I'm just glad that it's there on paper, like, cause I've been telling people this for the longest. But as far back to the album, they got Ari Lennox on there. Cole dropped off a verse on the album. Jid on that bitch, of course. They even got Music Soul Child on the track. But anyway, man, I like how they got their albums and mixtapes set up as far as like themes, man. Cause I don't know, it's like every one of their album titles just elevate from, I guess it go to a different level of status. Cause like y'all know how Chance the Rapper, when he did, when he had his album, like the 10 Day Mixtape was him looking down, and then Acid Rap was him looking at the people, and then his last album was him looking up. You know, as far as those stages, like those just were the stages he was at with life. Like at first he was feeling down, then he was trying to figure shit out looking at us. Anyway, Earth Gang got that story to tell in their albums, man. Like Shallow Graves for Toys, Tomorrow I really didn't get. But then it started with me, where I just picked up on it. Strays with Rabies. Shit, Damn Near Dogs on the Street. And then they were like, nigga, we royalty. And then they had to take a step back, look at theyself, and they created Mirror Land. And then they linked up with Earth Gang, man, and said did Spilligion. And now, I ain't even gonna count Spilligion, man. I'm gonna just go straight from Mirror Land for when they were reflecting on themselves. And now they put out Ghetto Gods. So, I don't know. Y'all can play around with the stories and the theories right there as you want. I'm just here to tell y'all what's up. That's how I feel about it, man. But yeah, all these people on the album, I like the way that, like, they just leveled up on each project, man. This is my wake up album. This has been my wake up album for a few days now. It just give me energy to take on the day when I put it on. Y'all definitely need to check it out, man. I'm a day one fan of Earth Gang from way back when. I done put hella people on, and I'm proud of that fact. This is a day one fan saying this album right here is the best one they have put out since Rags. Straight up. What's up, gang? What's up, gang? Getting this money. Getting this money. I'm fucking this fame. Fuck this fame. I'm trapping this water. Trapping this water. I'm making shit shake. Making shit shake. Give me a dollar. Give me a dollar. Bitch, give me a break. Bitch, give me a break. All right, y'all. So, shit. Good black TV, man. Some television shows and shit I've been watching. You know, as of late, my show Snowfall came back. This is the final season. And also, I've been keeping up with Kanye Genius Trilogy on Netflix, too. But for the sake of length today, I'm going to focus on Bel-Air and the new Proud Family. Like I told y'all, I had to split up a bunch of stuff and cut a bunch of stuff. So this podcast episode won't be like an hour and a half long. But we're going to get to everything. But Bel-Air, man, this is one of the ones that I just couldn't. I felt good about when I started watching it. As y'all know, Bel-Air is a modern dramatization of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like the 90s version. I went into this show with an open mind because I like the idea of it being more drama type of a show that shows the other side of the shit black folks go through the streets and in the world. And don't get it twisted now. The original Fresh Prince, like, it had all these dark elements. But it was stepped on a little bit, man. Like in the original, we know Will came to live with his auntie now because he got in a fight and got into it with some bad niggas on the basketball court. We know this for a fact. That's the whole intro of the show for real, the 90s show. But in the new Bel-Air series, man, it's the exact same. Except we get the details, nigga. We get Will's story like that nigga was there. And like really, it's a complete flip-flop from the original. Whereas, like, the old one was 40% more dramatic and 60% comedy with a laugh track. But the new Bel-Air series, it's like 60% drama, 40% comedy. And, like, both shows do a good story on making these ratios work. And, like, the parallel of the shows are there as far as comparing each one of them. The parallels are there. Like, they do translate some sort of way, but so far, man, some things are different, some things ain't. That's what it said. I'm fucking with the Bel-Air characters, the cast. Uncle Phil, dark-skinned Aunt Viel, Ashley, Hillary, Jazz, Carlton, Uncle Tom ass. My nigga, Jeffrey got the glow up of a century, my nigga. I went into this show, y'all. I thought they was about to have another black man cleaning up after everybody again. But this nigga is cleaning up behind everybody. This nigga drinking scotch, fresh than a motherfucker, playing pool with Uncle Phil and shit. Jeffrey introduced himself as the house manager. That cool motherfucker introduced himself as the house manager. That nigga ain't no butler no more, bro. Like, in my head, I said, the fuck does a house manager do? Then that man said, I'll take care of it. I said, oh, you the shooter, nigga. Jeffrey the shooter, bro. And like, that's what I'm getting from Jeffrey, dog. So like, this is one thing that took this show, like, and I was like, oh, this is a show. But aside from the characters and like some of the plot that's going on, the soundtrack, it's on point. They got a good mix of everything. Thundercat, some 21, Meek, of course, for that Philly representation. I like how they show love. The MF Doom with the little action figure and Jazz Carl when Will was riding that bitch. Jahari, the producer, his sister told me that Robert Glasper was behind the music for it, and it all just made sense at that point, man. And all in all, bro, like, I really do like the show. Like, I don't see anything wrong with how the show is going. Some of the characters, bro, it's kind of weird, but I'm going to say this for the people who are acting like, let me speak on this Carlton character. I'm going to just put this in his own little subcategory. Carlton in this show is a coon like a motherfucker, bro. But they were saying that the old Carlton would never do some of the shit that this new Carlton is doing. I'm here to tell y'all that the old Carlton was a motherfucking Uncle Tom. Them niggas got arrested. He ain't no shit about white privilege. He ain't learned about none of this shit because he been spoiled his whole life. This the old Carlton, y'all. Like, he went to jail. He didn't see race and shit and thought other people didn't see him as racist. I guarantee you the 90s motherfucking Carlton let his white friends say nigga. I guarantee you, bro. That's why Will was so, hey, I don't even want to fuck with you for real, because I see what you talking about. And that was in the 90s version. Y'all mean to tell me that y'all shocked at the way this new Carlton is? Like, I just don't get it, man. I just don't understand, because they both real deal some coons. And at least the 90s Carlton, the old nigga, he elevated out of the wheel real deal, showed him another side of black people. And he had to learn, man. Like, he real deal was willing to learn at some point. And then he got cool. And that's the Carlton everybody know and love. They don't remember him being like a full-blown-ass Uncle Tom-ass fuck-ass nigga like back in the 90s. But I do. I straight up do, bro. Because the nigga was bougie as fuck. But, yeah, man, I just hope this new Carlton follows in the old Carlton's footsteps as far as being, like, willing to learn, become a little cooler, won't tolerate certain shit, man. And righteously, straight up, Carlton just gonna have to fucking go to jail with a cokehead ass. He gonna have to go to jail, bro, and I'm straight up fucking sad. Send that motherfucker to jail. Scare the shit out of his ass. Oh, rich bitch. But yeah, man, that's how I feel about that Carlton right now. I don't understand that argument where y'all just think they thought of this character out of the fucking blue. Like, Carlton been an Uncle Tom, man. Y'all shouldn't be surprised about that shit. But all in all, I like the show. I think John Singleton would approve, because honestly, this probably could have been what the original vision for the show was from the jump. And, you know, it probably just had to be watered down for a wider audience on a major network, man. Like, who knows? We'll never know, man. John Singleton, we don't know what his original vision was, but we know where he was going with it, bro. Like, we appreciate the old show, and I really fuck with the new show, too. So, Bel-Air, like, they in they bag with me. I fucks with it. And, man, last but not least, had to tap in with a childhood favorite, man, Proud Family. Tapped in with the new Proud Family continuation, Louder and Prouder. And I got to say, man, I'm a fan. I'm fucking with it. Honestly, it ain't even like they've been, like, the way they set this new season up, it ain't even like they've been gone so long the way it is. Like, they ain't skip a beat. It's like the new episodes picked right up after the last episodes from 15 years ago, man. It's like they real deal just hit puberty and boom, continuation of the rest of the shit that been going on. I have seen some complaints about the theme song. With me, it is what it is, man. I mean, Destiny's Child and Solange song the original intro, so you really can't top that, man, in my opinion. I don't know if y'all was expecting this shit to go up, but you really can't beat Destiny's Child in Solange. So, honestly, in my opinion, I really ain't care about the theme song. I ain't give a fuck. I knew it wasn't gonna be as good as the last one, no matter who the fuck did it. But yeah, the show, it added some new characters. This girl named Maya and her family. They took some characters away. That nigga Sticky, man, they took him away. But let's be real, bro. At the time they were recording these episodes, ain't no way in the fuck Disney was going to let Orlando Brown be a part of anything they had going on. Because bro was down bad in the media, dog. So they had Sticky character go to Japan on the first episode. Bro ain't even get a line in. Like, as soon as they went up to that nigga house, he left a note. That nigga was in the car and that nigga bounced. So, shit, but they set it up to where, like, Orlando Brown has been sober. And he been doing good since then, since they recorded the episodes and stuff. So, who knows? We might get a Sticky cameo or something, man. Because they did set it up to where he just went to Japan. So, who knows? Nigga could come back on the episode. Could come back on the season. Who knows? It's all dependent on Orlando Brown and his relationship with Disney, man. But, ain't no telling. But as soon as the show came on, man, like, you see the recurring characters that you're used to from your childhood. Wizard Kelly, he was on that bitch running for mayor on the TV as soon as you turn on the show. Oscar the same, Trudy the same, Uncle Bobby the same. But that nigga wardrobe finally went up a decade. So he out of the 70s and he in the 80s, but he still singing 70s shit. And like, the Gross Sisters, they still jacking, but they got a record label now. Motherfucking Hands Up Cash Out Records. They say Snoop Dogg, they uncle, and he produced one of their tracks. So we might get a motherfucking Snoop Dogg cameo, a character on this bitch, where he just come on and be like, hey, nigga, we his uncle. They, shit, he our uncle for real. So who knows, man? And the comedy in the show is just as good as it used to be, man, with the kid jokes and the adult jokes. I will say, this show is very progressive. Like, way, way more of a progressive show, man. Like, it got the representation, more representation of LGBT content, more modern problems like social media impacts, interracial families, and just overall modern content that is, you know, going on in today. Like, it's more prevalent. Man, and the thing that got me, bro, of course, they took some, like I said, they took some characters away. They added some characters. But they took Sticky away and made Michael a more prevalent character, man. And this has been a big-ass piece of controversy about, like, the people real deal hating on Michael, man. They be like, oh, the kids don't need to see that. I'm like, see what? Hold on, bro. People real deal acting like Michael just got put on the show. Michael been on the show, man. They had a whole episode about that nigga daddy calling him a sissy. Like straight up, like real deal. Michael has been on this bitch. He been on this motherfucker. Choreographer. He been on that bitch making motherfuckers dance and shit. He been on here designing outfits, designing costumes. Just all around, he been doing what he been doing in this show, bro. It's just that he hit puberty and he grew the fuck up. And people really, they got a problem with that, man. But I don't get it. Michael been there. And I mean, I understand some people who just don't get LGBT, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to look at it from a neutral standpoint and just see both sides. But if you like the old Proud Family, there's really no reason for you to like the new Proud Family based on just Michael. Because this nigga been in the show. And he been doing Michael shit. So, I don't get the argument, man. But the show, it got an animation upgrade. Everything is real deal more cinematic, but it kept the same style. I'm glad the show back. Like, it shows black representation as a whole. From, like, the lessons learned every episode to the voice actors, to the characters, to the everyday culture of just being and doing black stuff on the day-to-day. Like, I grew up with it, and I'm glad another generation gonna get to grow up with it, too. Thank you for tuning in to another week of the Red Room Podcast, man. As always, you are much appreciated. You can follow us on our official Instagram @_TheRedRoomPodcast or on our official Facebook page, man. Just type in The Red Room Podcast. As always, bro, we practicing positive vibes out here. Good people, good music, good vibes, bro. Protect your mental And stay safe out here, y'all. Tune in next week.